These are Noah's glasses? Okay. They look more like your glasses. Where is Noah? She picked them out. You need to get some man glasses, you know?
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Brother Grant.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
I'm just glad it didn't ring.
All right. Okay. Give Noah a great big hand. You know what Noah did for pastime before he came to the Lord? He was involved in this extreme fighting in these cages. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. Now, so that's the reason why I had to say that. So Noah, you have really been converted. Okay. Praise God. Sometimes you just don't know. You ever sung a song you didn't know when to stop it? You know, just some things you get started, you don't know how to stop it. Oh, I love Noah. He is quite the man, really. Speaking of men, one of our pastors will be turning 50. And there will be Pastor Roy's house, there will be open house from 1 to 5 on Saturday. All of you are invited to attend. I know Roy will have all kinds of food and everything. His 50th birthday is not until August the 7th, which is next Tuesday, but he's observing it, and he invites you to come and observe it with him. And certainly, Roy, we're going to show up with bells on and a big appetite. So, all of you, let's go eat him out of a house and home. How about it? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Just so good to be in the house of the Lord. So good. I spent a lot of time praying about the Bible study. I think that we're down some in the new converts this year. I'm going to take most of that blame simply because I have not been in as many services as I would like to have been. It seems like when we're promoting it all the time, it happens. And when you're not talking about it, you don't have as many. Isn't that something? When you put emphasis on prayer, people pray. The moment you stop emphasizing, they stop praying. Now, that's just the way we are as people. And the greatest problem with we as human beings is our humanity. It gets in the way. And I'm thinking, you know, we set a lofty, lofty vision several years ago of seeing Dane County evangelized, seeing up to 20,000 people come to the Lord. I've been doing a lot of praying about this. I guess one of the saddest statements, I think, that can be made about any particular person or thing is, it could have been. You think about that, it could have been. I've seen young people that had so much potential and just threw it up to the wind. And they grabbed every fast train that came by and only to get pitched off of it, and they grab another one. And after a while, they've got their life so messed up, and they're so messed up in their mind, and you think what could have been. Think about that. And then you think about young people. We mentioned Noah, didn't know God, involved in extreme fighting, you know, all of this, and then all of a sudden gives his heart to God. You know, he becomes a great Christian man. But you think about what could have happened if he had not have found Jesus. Now what I want to do, I want to talk about things relative to ministry. So the title of my message is Things to Remember, that is, when doing ministry. But I think there'll be enough in this for all of you to pick up. Most every person in this church is doing ministry. We have just very few people just come to church. So I go to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. This is a message to the church at Sardis. This is the period of the Reformation. It was written to a believing remnant, according to verse 4 and 5. Verse 3 says, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Now, the word repent is used, and that's not to say that they were that far off of what God wanted them. But on the other hand, it is repentance that seems to correct the direction all the time. It just, you know, kind of keeps you, you know, as you steer a car, you got to turn it to the right and then to the left, the right and the left, the right and the left. And you see the car is going pretty straight. You never think that the person behind the wheel was having to correct it all the time. But we do have to correct ourselves all the time. And repentance seems to be that the thing that keeps us in the road. "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Now, it seems like what they got off on the wrong course, and what the Lord is saying, now, you need to correct yourself right now. Don't go any further than what you're going now. Because there is a point in which, you know, you may get a little bit fed up with people and fed up with the church. Some people, I've had people say, "I just got fed up with Calvary Gospel Church." But you got to remember, God can get fed up with you too. You know he can? And that's what he's saying. He said, "Boy, you better watch out. Now's the time to correct this." So not all of the points that comes to my mind will I be able to use tonight simply because of the time element. But we're going to start off, so you may be seated. And we just want to review some things. We want to look at where we're going. So things to remember. Like I say, it's not a complete list. There must be many, many more. But the first one, and this is one that I put at the top because I think that this is so important. I've had people walk in my office and sit down, and I wanted to talk with you about something. And so I questioned them, "Have you been praying?" I can't believe how many people over the years that I've asked that question. It was like, "Oh, I guess I forgot." Like couples that have problems. And I tell couples, you know, if you pray together, you'll keep your marriage together. And I ask couples, "Are you praying together?" Like, "Oh, no." Well, no wonder you're fighting. It's like, "I forgot." Now, you wouldn't think that anyone would forget to pray. But, you know, all you have to do is over a period of, let's say, a week or so, have some particular situation to happen. it just kind of diverts your attention away from church and maybe working overtime, maybe a family crisis, a sickness of your own, and not praying the way that. And then it's just easy then to slack off. So the number one thing that I have on things to remember, never forget the absolute necessity of praying daily. Praying daily. If you don't keep your relationship alive, stay close to Him, full of the Holy Ghost and full of fire, I don't care what ministry you're involved in, you will not be successful. Because a church is not run like a local Burger King, McDonald's. We may use solid, sound principles in running it, but the truth of the matter is, unless God reaches down, unless God uses you, oh, I don't know. I pray as much today about being used of God as I've ever prayed. I want to be used of God. I say, I want to be used of God. I want to be effective. Even if I'm not talking to someone about God, I want them to feel that there's a difference. There's something about this individual that's totally different from the individuals that I have been dealing with. So never forget the absolute necessity of praying daily. How often should you pray? Every day. Let's say it together. Every day. Every day. We have the Friday night prayer meetings, and sometimes unless a pastor or someone gets up and just really promotes the prayer meeting, send out a one call, you know, you just don't have many people to show up. And why is prayer a secondary thing? Well, I know what most of you'd say if you're not accustomed to attending. You say, oh, but you don't have to go to church to pray. And neither do you to listen to preaching. You can listen on radio or you can get a tape. You can sing without coming to church. You can worship without coming to church. You can talk to brothers and sisters on the telephone without coming to church. But church is a God-ordained thing. He talks about when we all come together. And this is the way it is to be done. So remember that corporate prayer, to get together and pray, as far as this being a doctrine taught in the Bible, we have so many examples of the church getting together. They prayed. The Bible speaks of the place where they prayed was shaken, literally shaken. Just God just came down and prayed, or they came, they met and they prayed until God just shook the house. So never forget the absolute necessity of daily prayer. The second thing, never forget that God called you or called us to live a life of separation. We just listened to a couple of tapes by Brother Bernard. Brother David Bernard is our general superintendent, did a great job on these. We have put various copies, or copies in the hands of various leaders. If you're wanting to listen to this again, or if you have someone that's got questions about holiness standards and such, this is a tape that I would highly recommend that you get a copy of it and show the individual. You know, you may show it to someone and the person may walk away and say, well, I can never do this or I never will. But I guarantee you they cannot, biblically speaking, they cannot deny what the Scripture says. It's very, very plain. They cannot deny it. So never forget that God called you or us to live a life of separation. If you're doing ministry, you're doing park ministry, sometimes people, when they get away from the church, have a tendency to dress a little bit too casual and sometimes too immodest. Isn't that right? That's true. And I know that I've, through the years, I've had people show me pictures of a vacation and such, and all of a sudden they said, "You sure you want to see, you sure you got time to see all these?" It just came to their mind that whenever I turn the next page, I probably don't want to see them. I said, "Oh, I got all the time in the world." Say, "Hey, what's going on here?" "Well, we were away and nobody knew." I said, "Yeah, but you took pictures to show everybody." Something? You know, it is amazing how people justify things. Someone said, one time said, "Well, radio's bad. You're talking about evil TV programs and everything, but television has a lot of good programs." I said, "Well, I don't deny that." I said, "What about all these radio programs?" I said, "Well, television has a much more profound effect on you than radio." I said, "How do you figure that?" So let me ask you this. Which would have the most effect on you as a man if you heard a naked lady make a speech or if you saw her make it? I don't think I have to do any more explaining. Praise God. Isn't our God good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's not forget that God has called us to live a life of separation. Okay? Number three, never forget that the Bible teaches that there is but one God. Now, you thought I was talking about the oneness doctrine, which I am. But I'm not talking about the oneness versus the belief in other persons in the deity. Let's turn to Psalm 20, verse 7, and look what I'm talking about. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Did you know that when you have a pastime, a hobby or something, and you spend more time on that than you do in your relationship with God, you're making a God out of that, if that's a top priority. And the Bible only teaches one God. So you may have your house that you're working on, remodeling or whatever, but if it takes anything that takes the place of God, see, you can't hold hands with God and mammon. Mammon is not the devil. It's just anything that takes the place of God. Well, we do believe in one God, and his name is what? Jesus. Let's say it together. Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. Oh, how I love that name. Praise God. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But never forget that the Bible teaches that there is but one God. So we need to be totally, totally given to Jesus Christ. Number four, never forget that we are commanded to preach the gospel. That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're working with people in the parks and places, it's real easy. It's real easy to just kind of bypass that. But the Bible says the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for witness. Then shall the end come. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ must be preached. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we must not forget that. We must not forget that. When we set out to make new converts, oh, our park ministries are just doing great. we've had bus ministry for years and a lot of other ministries, and they're just doing great. But only the death, the burial, and the resurrection can save the person. It's the only thing. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. All right, number five, remember that all ministries are important, not just yours. Sometimes you get so excited about what you're doing that you forget. Here in the church, like outreach ministries, we have Revival Ridge. I get a report on that every Wednesday. Got a report today, reading about what happened last night. Of course, we lost the room in which we had. We wanted to stay in the Allied area. Brother Hawk has committed to help in that. Brother and Sister Leonardson have been so very faithful in going there and ministering. I don't know, how many of you have been involved in the Revival Ridge outreach? Raise your hand. Okay, good number of hands here, see. And others, and I really do appreciate that. Brother and Sister Hop have been working up at Poinette. We have the parks in which we have our outreach ministries. Voces Unidas is a part of Calvary Gospel Church. It's an outreach ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. And then we go overseas to Poland. There's Leanna O'Neill. You should pray for her every day. She's had some health problems. Now, Brother and Sister Nichols obviously are not overseas or will not. If they are now, they're coming back home because they're going to be with us in a week or so. But Leanna went over there to work with them. And then, of course, in Lafayette, the O'Malleys are there. The Smiths are down in, Lenny and Kathy are down in Antigua. Also Benjamin and Victoria. We have jail ministries, prison ministries, the CIP, the Touch Twice, the bus ministry. You know, all of these are important. All of them. Now, it may be something that you may look at and say, oh, I don't, in your heart, you may say, I don't see the value of it. But trust me, the people doing it, they are worthy of you giving them honor for doing it. They're worthy of you praying for them. They need your support. We all need each other, see. We have InReach Ministries, our Sunday school, which is Outreach InReach. We have the music ministry, the ladies ministry, the men's ministry, the care ministry, the New Life Ministries. I could go on and on and on. We got youth and hyphen and wow. And then the administrative ministry of our church, Sister Carolyn Thorpe, worked her very last day at work. Yesterday, she retired after 35 years. Stand up, Bill and Carolyn. We want Bill and Carolyn to stand. Give them a great big hand, would you? And we are having a very special service in September. I think September 22nd. We just set that. No, it's not October. We changed it from October. It was changed from October just before service to September the 23rd. Is that right? On Sunday evening. So we're going to honor Sister Thorpe for 35 years and Brother Thorpe also for allowing her. She was just kind of married to this job for a long, long time. And we just want to walk down memory lane for a little bit and show our appreciation to her for all that she has done for us. And the church will be presenting her and Brother Thorpe a nice gift. So let's just pray. God bless them so much. They've been camping already, and they want to do more camping and more camping and more camping and more camping. And I'll tell you, you know, got a little pop-up camper. And I had those days up at camp. You know, if you like to camp, you know, I'm just thrilled that you like it. I had so much of that when I was growing up, though. And then camp, Wisconsin District Camp, no air conditioners, pop-up campers, three little boys sleeping in that, going in that old tabernacle. Brother Tommy Kraft, such a great preacher, but one time he preached 2 hours and it must have been 150 degrees in there. Oh, man. So, to me, you know, and of course, Sister Grant and I, we rode horses for years, and some of the people throughout the state knew we rode a horse, said, come on, we're going on this trail ride, cattle drive cattle all the way from someplace in Minnesota to North Dakota or something. Stay gone a whole week and sleep on the ground. So not for me. I'm not that kind of cowboy. What kind of cowboy are you? I said, I ride my horse 10 hours, no problem. Get off my horse, tie my horse, go to a motel room, get a hot shower, go to the best restaurant in town, get the biggest steak they have, come in, pray a little while, and turn my toes up toward Jesus, and I'll get up in the morning, but not into that laying on the ground stuff, you know. Okay, administrative. Sister Jessica Rivest has taken Carolyn Thorpe's position. Jessica, God bless you. If you put up with me as long as Carolyn Thorpe put up with me, I will be 107 years old when you're 35 years has been put in. All right. Okay. Well, meanwhile, back on the ranch. Number 6, remember to always stay focused. Boy, it's easy to get out of focus. You know, I preach this a lot in different churches. I preach this a lot in prayer meetings. You know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's not original with me. I was up in Maine one time, and they said the main thing in Maine is to keep the main thing the main thing. So, but we must remember that the real focus of a prayer meeting should not be prayer. It should be Jesus Christ. This is the reason why that a lot of prayer meetings can turn into just preaching sessions about prayer. And after a while, you look up and you say, oh, we've gone an hour here. We prayed about 10 minutes, and all we've done is talk about prayer. I read supposed to have been an actual report. Came from California several years ago when they were having problems determining how to harvest, the grapes, not grapes, but oranges. What had happened was that they were trying to perfect some kind of a machine that would go and pick those off the trees. And so they sat around and talked about this for weeks, several farmers, only to find out that when they got out there and looked at their orchards, that all of the oranges were on the ground and they were rotten. And sometimes we do that too when it comes to soul winning. Focus should be on souls. We put so much emphasis on getting ready to do it. You know, time we get out there, many people are lost, and we've got to do all that we possibly can. But stay focused. The main focus of a worship service is not worship. But the main focus of a worship service is Jesus Christ. You know, you start giving lessons about worship. I'm not saying that a message about worship and a lesson about worship is not appropriate, but I'm saying after a while, you know, you've been to places where it seems like that the worship leader was just a pep rally leader. And after you had this pep talk, you know, and you got blessed out, and you could be running the aisles and clapping everything. Oh, everybody stop, 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 stop. Everybody stops. You get chewed out for a while about worshiping. And so now we want you to worship. Well, wait a minute. We were worshiping till we heard this 15 or 20 minutes message on worship. When I have the opportunity to minister to worship leaders, I tell them, you don't have to say much to the congregation. A word every now and then is very necessary. But the main thing is to worship yourself. And if you'll get caught up in worship, whether it be dancing in the spirit, whether it be crying, whether it be talking in tongues or what, if you'll get caught up in worship, trust me, the people will worship also. So the main emphasis of a worship service is not worship, it's Jesus Christ. Singing is the same thing. Sing. Sing unto the Lord. And when you sing unto him, you know what I like this so much. You know, in recent years, and I say this to Brother and Sister Leonardson, you led us into so many songs where we sing to the Lord and not about the Lord. That's so very important. Now, I don't think that all songs that are sung in church are sung primarily for worship. I think there's some fun songs that you sing, and there's just some songs deliver a message. But the bulk of the songs that you sing, you should be singing to him and not about him. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. See? You know, you're Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. So we sing to him and not about him. And I'll tell you one thing too. When we sing to him instead of about him, you will find that the worship becomes very electrifying. That's the term people use, and the reason why is because they can feel the presence of God as God comes in and moves among them. Now, it's easy sometimes just grab an old song. You may say, is anything wrong with the old songs? Well, some of the old songs were not as good as some others, just like some of the new ones are not as good as some of the other new ones. So there's good and there's bad in the old, and good and bad in the new. When I say bad, I'm talking about they're just not as good as the others. But one thing for sure, when you start singing to the Lord, see, God inhabits the praise of his people. You're going to find the presence of God. And people are going to say, oh my, that was the most electrifying worship service I've ever been in. I feel the presence of God because we're talking to him and not just about him. In years past, and the UPC really got involved in this, and I'm not here to criticize the UPC, but I think this is something I would say at General Conference. You know, we sung so many songs about our experience. It's real, it's real, I know it's real, these Pentecostal blessings, I know it's real. Now, I like to sing that. I've sung it. But when outsiders come, if they're not Pentecostal, you know what you do? You exclude them. But when you sing songs about Jesus, you don't exclude anybody, regardless of what denomination they are. If they're a worshiper of Jesus, they feel, I can lift my hands and sing with these people. I think for that reason alone, we've had a lot of people come to the Lord from different denominations because they feel at home when the presence of God falls. Now, here's one. Of course, let me just finish this. If we're preaching, the main emphasis is not on preaching, but it's on Jesus. If we're witnessing, the main emphasis is not on witnessing, but it's on Jesus. Now, number 7, remember to never become too fascinated or amazed about your gift or talent. This is a big one. Now, I really want to emphasize this because we have so many precious people that are playing instruments, singing, writing songs. And I got to tell you, they're top quality. The songs that we have been hearing that these people have written, they're as good as any songs that we sing. And you never know that they were written by rookies in a local assembly. But it's real easy when this happens to get to thinking, you know, I'm pretty good at this. I think I can make a living doing this, you know. I'm not saying it's wrong to make a living singing, but I'm just simply saying. Sometimes we become too fascinated or amazed at our own talents, our own abilities. That's going to happen. There is a potential of this happening to every person doing ministry. You quizzers. Our quizzers, I think they took 3rd place in the nation. Isn't that right? Give them a great big hand. Yes, 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 yes. I know it was because the big guns in Madison were watching. I don't know if you heard that story or not. But it's easy, you know, if you, a top quizzer of the tournament, it's easy to think, you know, I'm pretty smart. Don't forget that you prayed day and night for months and months and months that God would give you all the help necessary to quiz and bring honor to his great name. Don't forget that. You just never, never, never should reach a point, regardless of how good you are at speaking, regardless of how good you are at playing an instrument, regardless of how good you are at preaching, singing, writing songs, or whatever. Don't ever become dazzled, amazed about your talent. Always remember where it came from. Always remember where it came from. And remember, you can get up and give God the credit and still miss the point. You can get up and say, God gave me this like 4 years ago, and tell the whole story, and at the same time still become very fascinated about your own ability. Number 8. Always remember, we're doing this first for Jesus, second for others, and then thirdly for ourselves. First for Jesus. Always, you do it first for Jesus, second for others, thirdly for ourselves. Someone, maybe it'd be a good time for me to interject this. Someone just recently asked me in a little district gathering that I was in, Brother Grant, how do you have good services? Well, remember one thing: there's nothing in the Bible that tells us what the order of the service should be. Nothing. We know they prayed. We know they sung songs and psalms, hymns. That spiritual gifts in operation. It's easy to pray, thy will be done, and at the same time be so solidified in your tradition, that is how you normally do things, that you don't let God move. You don't let God work. So when we come together, there should be one thing in mind, that is that God has his way. But this I say, if you want to have a good service, number 1, you've got to have good, godly worship. The second thing, you got to have good music. The third thing, you have to have good preaching. And I do appreciate our pastoral staff and the preachers that we have. We've got some outstanding preachers here at Calvary Gospel Church. Yes. I give you a big hand for this. Okay. And then the fourth thing, and this may surprise you, but if you need good worship and you need good music and you need good preaching, you've got to have good sound. Sound that's not too loud. I don't know, sometimes Pentecostals think that the louder it is, the better. Now, nobody's saying anything. Are you afraid to say something? Or I'm just trying to talk to you. I'm trying to be sensible. But really, I've gone into some church services, honestly, just blow your ears back. And we have evangelists by, and listen, I'm not going to be critical, but I know we had one evangelist who said, just part my hair with the sound. But you see, the thing about it is, we're not doing this for us. See, we're forgetting that we're doing it for the one that died on Calvary. First to him, secondly to others. And we don't want to get carried away so much with the sound of our own voice that we drive everybody out of the house. Amen. And I'm known, and maybe I'm being a little bit too open, but I've known of some special meetings throughout the country, and the pastors in charge, after a while, they kept saying, well, the attendance goes down, it goes down, it goes down, it goes down. We can't. I guess people just don't want to grow anymore. They don't know. The service is so loud that your ears start bleeding. Really, I've had people say my ears were bleeding. You know. Now, power produces sound, but sound doesn't always produce power. And when people start worshiping, we don't have it in control of it. We're talking about shaking the house, and I'm sure that there are going to be people that say, oh, man, it's so loud in here, I can't stand it. That is when God's shaking the house. And we have a little unique situation in most Pentecostal churches. You try to keep the decibels down, but when everybody starts worshiping, the decibels go up to the point that alone exceeds what most people feel is the comfort zone. And then if somebody's going to sing while everybody's clapping their hands and shouting and everything, if you're going to hear them sing, you got to turn it up. You know? So I'm just saying that, hey, we need to thank the Lord for the sound people we have. We need to back them, encourage them. Brother Jeff, thank you for doing a great job here tonight. Brother Jeff is in the sound booth with his lovely assistant. So, to have a great service, you've got to have good worship, including singing, good music, good preaching, and good sound. But remember now, in all of this, then, we're doing this not for ourselves. First for Jesus, second for others, and then thirdly for ourselves. Point number nine, remember that team unity is important or imperative. See, this church is bigger than any person here, including Pastor Grant. When Pastor Grant is no longer the pastor here and he's in eternity, I feel comfortable that Calvary Gospel Church will continue to go on, and it will be a thriving church because we have tried our best to preach foundational doctrines of the Bible, to be strong, to not be jumping all over the page. I like for people to know how I feel about things. I like to be very plain about things. I like to be upfront about things. And I like to see people grow, solidify themselves. See these teenagers, you think about the teenagers we've had that's left. There's Micah that's on the pastoral staff at Christian Life College, the largest Christian Life church, the largest church in the UPC. There's Katie down in Springfield. There's Anna out in Staten Island. There is Felicia. She's out in Maryland. I think I'm forgetting some. There's Sarah. She's out in Stockton. You know, they just... Ashley is down in Delavan. You just think of how many people that we've sent out. You know, here's Patrick and Shelley now overseas. And, you know, hey, I said I wanted to send out more money than we've ever sent out before. And we were just so thrilled that we could do this for all these people. We have just quality people. And people that stand up here and give prayer requests and take prayer requests. And people serving in ministry that are just top notch. But remember, the church is bigger than you. You know. Number 10, be positive and provoke one another to good works. Tell about what God is doing. You know something that'll kill a sermon faster than anything? Talk about what God's going to do. Why not talk about what God's doing now? I said, talk about what God's doing now. My. I got to check in on the number of converts. As far as I can see, we've had around 120 already this year. 8 of those came from VOSIS, 22 from our outreach. And plus, in one of the prisons in which we were working, along with the church in Fond du Lac, last week they baptized 65 people. Oh, isn't that something? When Brother Buster was here, so many people came up and said, I was totally healed, just totally healed. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I don't know. I'm claiming my healing. I'm telling you, I'm just claiming it. I just believe. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's be positive. Let's provoke one another to good works. You can always say something nice. Something powerful about someone. Build up each other. Praise God. Some of you, it might embarrass you if you just went up to them and looked at them right in the eye and said, you know, I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time. You know, I appreciate you so much, and I just am really thankful for your steadfastness. I'm thankful for your ministry. I'm thankful for what you're doing for God. Well, you need to get accustomed to doing that on a daily basis, like every day. Find someone that you can build up, encourage. Just, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Number 11, keep the vision alive. You know, churches grow because of vision, not because of ministry. I put this little formula together several years ago, and that is my vision plus my faith plus my commitment equals my appraisal of God. Not what God is, but what I think He is. So the bigger my vision is, the bigger my faith, the bigger my commitment, then the bigger my appraisal of God is. In other words, I can see Him in a much larger scale than what I've seen him before. He's just bigger because my vision has increased. I like to pray every day, God, don't let my vision die. You know, what happens in a lot of churches, truthfully, and I think this year we've had a great year, great preaching and everything, but I do feel it's time to renew the vision. I just feel that it is. But you know, if you don't renew it, it'll just die. If you don't pray about it, it'll just die. And without a vision, the people perish. We talk about extensions, we talk about building plans, and we have plans being drawn by Zion Church Builders. Should be ready by the end of the month. We'll be having our 40th anniversary services here on the 24th through the 26th of August. And they should be ready by then. But I'm just believing that, hey, it's going to be a great year for us. And we just keep accentuating the positive and talk about what God is doing that's good. And if you're running around here and you're feeling like everything's wrong, take my advice. You're welcome to try it some other place. We don't want anyone distracting what God's doing. See. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness that grows up within you and thereby defiles many. Isn't that something? Okay, number 12, this is my last point. Always expect a miracle. Always expect a miracle. Praise God. Always expect a miracle. Always expect a miracle. Always expect a miracle. Why? Because over and over and over, Jesus informs us while he walked on this earth 3.5 years, he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Take your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look through the book of Acts. Turn the pages. How many pages do you have to turn before you see a miracle? You read about it. It's there. It's there. And if for some reason you stop expecting a miracle, you need to go back to the old book. Open it up and start reading those old, old stories that have been read across pulpits for years and has kept the church strong. Church has gone through water, it's gone through fire, it's gone through torture, it's gone through a little bit of everything, but it's still strong today because people keep believing that the Bible says this and that's what it means, and if we put our faith and trust in him, he can do the same today that he did yesterday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want a passion for God. I want to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to be wise concerning the things of God and simple concerning the things of the world. That's what Paul said. I want to become a fool for Christ's sake. I want to be totally sold out, 100%. Everybody knows what side I'm on. That's what I want.
Do I belong?
Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands.
I give myself.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.